Welcome to Wheel 2. Ooh, I'm restarting. Welcome to Wheel 2 Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by two smart, crazy, sexy, cool ladies who know medium to nothing about Formula One.
I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go. Amazing race weekend, no?
No, it was. I feel like it was a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's Sunday. We're recording just after the race.
Yeah.
Tell me how this weekend unfolded for you. Like, did you watch? What did you watch?
Okay, personally, or
the practice?
Do you want to talk? No, I didn't watch that. No, I didn't watch the practice. I read a little bit of the takeaways of the practice. You watched the practice, though. You
didn't. No, I didn't.
I don't feel like we don't have to talk about it.
Okay. So on to qualifying.
On to quali.
Quali was a little bit messy. I thought it was interesting. So at the beginning, Stroll got Latifi'd. But that was a cool one because it wasn't all Latifi's fault.
Yeah.
It was an interesting just consequence of people trying to get out of each other's ways in a very unnecessary crash. I don't know if you heard about mine, but it was very silly. Latifi moved out of the way and let people pass so he could go on his flying lap. So he was going on one of his prep laps during quali.
For flying, yeah.
And then he got ready to go and he started going fast again all of a sudden, and Stroll at the same time moved over to the right because he wasn't expecting him behind because he had just let him through. It was just a very unnecessary crash and everyone was confused about why they did it, but still very costly, and both of them had a lot of damage.
Yeah. What else happened? So, Carlos, I feel like he was 1.5 seconds off his teammate in Q3.
Carlos never got the chance to set a much faster lap. At the last few moments, there was a red flag, and he accidentally drove through it, and so his lap time got deleted. And you know how they, keep building to a faster lap? And his fastest time got deleted, so he ended up having to go with, his second fastest
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Not great.
And Bottas, this was kind of interesting. He missed out on 104th consecutive Q3 appearance by, what was it by? By just 0.2 of a second.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was cool in Q3. Just Red Bull and Ferrari are literally fighting for tiny little gains.
I know.
And in quali, it would be Verstappen goes faster. But all four are in the mix. Mm-hmm. It's Verstappen's going faster. Perez is going faster. Oh my God. Then Charles is going faster. They're all just eating just tiny little second mini
nuggets of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so fun to watch. Fernando Alonso was about to be.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Also, Lando did McLaren's first Q3 appearance of the season, which was cool.
Yeah, Lando always way ahead of Ricardo.
Always way ahead of Ricardo.
It's embarrassing to me. But I was going to say, Fernando almost got pole.
He
was going purple. He was going really, really fast. And then he had a hydraulics issue, quote unquote. That's what he blamed it on, and crashed out.
That's what it, quote unquote.
Because I just don't trust drivers. They obviously always have a reason for crashing.
Yeah, I was going to say, and also Fernando is I don't know. I was thinking about the story that you told me a few weeks ago that's just always going to make an appearance in these podcasts.
Yeah, Fernando's
but I feel like
the
he's,
devil.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he's a little mixy and not a liar, but anyway. I don't know.
It's always these men who have not reliability issues, but they're pushing the car so much. I wonder if they're trying to outdrive the car and that's how they get into these hydraulics issues.
Yeah.
Max, not to spoil it, but Max didn't end up finishing this weekend. And he is also someone they are dealing with damage just on Max's car, whereas Perez is fine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that speaks to how much he's beating that freaking car up every single weekend.
Yeah, yes. And I think his attitude towards it is it's absolutely unacceptable that this is the second DNF. And it's it is unacceptable. You should think about how you can drive the car in such a way that that doesn't happen.
Right. One of the things that I wrote about in my takeaways for this race was just about how reliability concerns are always considered outside of drivers' hands. They're oh well, that's reliability, that driver, they just immediately are that's not on them for the weekend. And I'm just questioning that, because reliability, right, has to do with how well the driver is taking care of the car too, as they're using it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and they have a big influence. I mean, they're the people who are literally getting it from point A to point B. So I feel like they have a lot of influence in how quickly something like the engine cools down, like if they're pushing it too far, you know? Yeah.
Three, Albon, Magnussen, Vettel, Latifi, and Stroll were all out.
Mm-hmm.
In Q3, Albon also like had to pull aside, and when F1 took a measure of how much fuel was in his car,
he was eliminated, right?
He was eliminated. So he had to go speak to the stewards and make like a formal appeal to be able to race the next day, which I just thought was interesting. Like they didn't have to allow him to race, but because he asked, they did.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. Like
Albon ask is, and you shall receive, guys. Yes. That's what you should take away.
No, for real. But Albon is a sweetheart.
He is a sweetie. He's a sweetie. I think that rule is always very interesting that you have to have a certain amount of fuel. I didn't know that it also applied to qualifying, that you have to have a certain amount of fuel left over in the car at the end of a race for them to test and see what's going on in your fluids. Ew.
Yeah. It's like kind of cheating to put too little fuel for some reason because it makes your car lighter too.
Oh, yes, it does. Yeah.
Q2, Bottas, Zhou, Tsunoda, Gasly, and Mick all don't make it. But Mick, good on Mick for getting up to Q2, right?
Yeah, no, totally. I think we're seeing more and more that the Haas car has something in it.
Yeah.
Something's happening. It's the Ferrari engine is what it is.
Yeah.
But also it's cool because I feel like Mick is showing a lot of competency in the car.
Yup.
And so is K-Mag.
Also in Q2, there was the sun started getting too sunny, and I thought it was interesting.
Daniel Ricciardo talked about that too. Go ahead.
Hamilton, Max, and Charles were all like, oh, we're going to need the darker visor right now. And they all said it at the same time. And this girl in the last podcast, I was talking about how like the drivers who are the most active and in asking about technical elements of the car and responsible for themselves in the car are always the one who are ones who are pushing the team. And I thought it was interesting that those three drivers who are usually dominant, Max, Charles, and Hamilton, were all like, I'm going to need the darker visor. Get that ready. Like before they're coming into the pits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure lots of other drivers asked for the visor maybe while they were there. I'm sure some drivers didn't even think to.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because I was watching the post-race conference for Australia and Daniel Ricciardo was talking about that. He was like, I don't want to race at this time because it's hard to see with the glare. It's hard to see what's happening behind you. And I think he kind of avoided Daniel a little bit of an accident at a certain point, but he was like, I could not see the person behind him. But I'm wondering, had he requested the visor in a more timely manner, would that not have been an issue?
Mm-hmm. The most entitled drivers, the diva ones, get it done.
Diva drivers.
The diva drivers
get
it done.
Can we please get the shades down? My God.
Yeah.
Necessary.
All right. So where are we when Q3 ends? How does it finish? We're laughing because we've gotten this wrong multiple times.
Don't Charles tell everyone what's happening.
Behind the scenes moment.
Yeah.
Charles is on provisional pole.
Charles is on provisional pole. And then we have Max Verstappen.
And then we have Max Verstappen and then Perez and then Lando, who outdrove two Mercedes on his final pole lap to make it to fourth
position.
And then Hamilton in fifth and then Russell in sixth.
Yeah.
Ricciardo was in seventh, three places down from Norris up there in fourth.
As per usual.
Ocon in eighth. And I feel like that's enough context to take us into the race.
I was surprised to see Bottas starting in 12th. And also that Carlos Sainz was that far back. Where was Carlos in there?
Carlos started 9th because of that issue. At the start of the race, he did not get a good start.
No. Oh, my God.
And he fell back to 14th.
Dude, the commentators were like, he dropped like a stone.
And then he drove off into the gravel
track. That was his fault completely, but I also felt bad for it. But it
that's
was his
the
fault.
Thing. People always said that Drive to Survive kind of made races seem way too connected to driver rivalries and to their mental state and to the drama of what else is going on. But he clearly had a bad weekend, and I feel like that affected the race.
Yes, and you can see that mentally. And so there's a reporter in the post-race conference that was talking about that. She was like, it's kind of all in his head. And this is a really important moment for Carlos because I think he wanted to close up the gap between him and Charles, and this would have been a really good day to do it, or whatever, a good race to do it. And it's just now the gap is, I can look it up actually, but the gap is pretty wide.
The gap is a chasm.
It's a chasm. Drivers
it's
points.
Huge. And Nigel Mansell, like a champion of yore from back in the day, did an interview with Beyond the Grid, and he was talking about the extra boost of adrenaline that you get when you're driving a home race, for example, and when you're driving with a rival. You just feel like you can drive more and get more excited, and the focus comes and the adrenaline comes, and that, I think, is what makes this sport different than other sports because adrenaline is such a huge factor. And if you're thinking about anything else during the race, like how bad you're doing,
it's over.
You're losing time.
Yeah.
Because your whole brain has to be just focused on winning.
And I think Carlos is somebody that is generally pretty good at that. So it's interesting that a moment like this had such an impact on him mentally. And it was really clear because as soon as the race started, he really was not driving defensively at all. I noted Mick Schumacher just like went right ahead of him. Like, it was nobody's business. So I don't know what was going on with him in his head.
But yeah, Carlos Sainz went off at the third lap
So it was his fault because he was trying to do a sneaky little overtake by going off the track. It's not technically off the track because you cannot overtake off the track, right?
No, trying to go too far around and hit a curve.
That's what I'm saying. He ended in the gravel because he was trying to be wily and it just didn't work out.
Vettel was not doing well in the back.
He kept
having like huge blunders and just moments of scary looking things.
And to that point, Aston Martin's, I want to talk a little bit about tire strategy because I felt a little confused this race, but Aston Martin was like from jump trying to figure out this interesting tire strategy of kind of like trying to pit really early. Didn't they pit?
I think they were on hards originally, pit to put on mediums, and then pit again during the same safety car. They pit in two consecutive laps. So they were on hards, then went to mediums, and went back onto hards lap after lap because both laps had happened under the safety car just consecutively in the pits.
Right.
And the commentators were like theorizing about why that could be. One of them said that maybe it's because they want to just drive on one tire.
That's
the entire
what I'm talking
race,
about. Yeah.
But you have to technically do one pit stop change. So they did it while it was under safety car just to replace the tires.
And this is not the first time that I feel like I've heard Aston Martin talking about not their over-reliance on safety cars, but just like kind of like hoping and wishing that something happens so they can be prepared and react to it. So I don't know why that's such a big part of their strategy, but they love the safety car. Like,
they love a good safety car.
They love it. They're like, what's going to happen? One thing that I noted was kind of like sad and funny, but when Carlos Sainz was just sort of like walking forlornly like down the track, did you see that? And he also like hopped on the back of the motorcycle just with this helmet on, looking so depressed.
So many motorcycle rides. I noticed that on Fernando Alonso's. Did he have a motorcycle ride?
I didn't see that.
He had a motorcycle ride during qualifying the night before. And he got on the motorcycle and he didn't hug the guy who was driving the motorcycle. He kind of sat up and put his arm up and like held on with his shoulder. Which I just thought was a hyper-masculine move to be like,
very
I'm not going to be riding on this guy's back.
Like, meanwhile, Sainz is like holding the guy's like around the waist. Very romantic, like wind blowing against his helmet. He's like, I just want to go home, man. The battle happening between Mercedes, Hamilton, and Perez. That was kind of interesting.
Right. Hamilton and Perez were fighting. Hamilton and Kevin Magnussen were fighting. Yeah. At some point, Hamilton and Fernando Alonso were fighting.
Yeah. At some point, it was interesting to see that Lewis was 1.5 seconds behind, slower than George, which I just thought was kind of a lot. It's a big gap.
There were so many theories about people. I think it's really interesting, the race between Hamilton and Russell. Hamilton and Russell were over the... Russell, during qualifying yesterday, was like, tell Hamilton to go faster. He's going too slow.
Oh, my God.
And, right. I'm like, as your teammate, would I be getting under Hamilton's skin like that? Because I know that Hamilton heard from somebody how he was talking about him on the radio.
It's funny because there was a radio message that I read about at the end of this, that I read about between Hamilton and whatever his crew. And he's like, you guys are putting me in a really difficult position. Did you hear that?
I did. And that to me made no sense. I was thinking that he had bad luck during this race.
He got Latifi'd. But like, remember when they said you got Latifi'd? Do you remember that one?
Yes. Yes. He didn't literally, nothing happened to him in terms of Nicholas Latifi doing anything, but a safety car really caught him out.
Yeah. But I thought, so people were saying, like, was that because he wanted to be told, like, you can surpass George, and that couldn't happen because of the safety car. I don't know. That was interesting.
Apparently, he couldn't reach George because his console was telling him to cool down the car.
That's what he said. He was like, it wasn't about that. It was about the console. Yeah.
And then Alonso was up into fourth because he did this one tire strategy who's going to use the hards the entire race. So he's up into fourth, but people are just like, is he that good? Is he in that good of a position? Or because he hasn't pitted yet, so he's going to go back eventually.
Yep.
But for a while, he was in fourth, best of the rest.
I saw Bottas fighting a little bit with Zhao Guan Yu, and he made a really smooth overtake that I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, that's sexy.
Very sexy.
I thought it was interesting. There was a time when Lance Stroll was sort of leading the midfield, and Gasly was stuck behind him.
Yes, that was, yes.
And Fernando Alonso, after he pitted, was so many places back. And Fernando is just like, who's the AlphaTauri behind Lance Stroll? And it kind of reminded me of the way, I don't know if it's just black moms. I was going to say moms, but I feel like this is specific to black moms. Me and like, who da 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 da. Like, he was like, who is behind, who is in the AlphaTauri?
It was so chatty of him. Like, they usually don't, it felt like a clip of a conversation. Yeah. He was like, I mean, I just don't get it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't get why he doesn't overtake him. Obviously, he can.
Yeah.
Obviously, he can. Very funny thing to
race
say.
Race commentary
why
from him.
Why doesn't he get in front of him?
It tells me a lot about his attitude as a driver and how he is. I mean, he doesn't want to hold the guy, the motorcycle riders. He's not holding him around the waist. Mm-hmm. He's like, why the fuck aren't they driving faster? Like, that's his vibe.
Russell had to back off and give Perez his place back.
Yes.
After the first safety car, Russell gained an advantage by getting a really cheap pit stop. Mm-hmm. And he had like a five-lap advantage. Mm-hmm. And of everyone, all the front runners. So he ended up in third place. But his team asked him not to fight Perez and basically give Perez third place. And he was just like, that is not what I want to hear.
So I saw that moment. I thought that was really interesting because the commentators were like, that's a very negative point of view for Mercedes to take. Because the Mercedes team was telling George, they were like, maintenance is more important than position. So we want you to maintain. We don't want you to press ahead. And he was like, why? Kind of. And that's the same question I had.
Mercedes is a team that cares a lot about reliability and finishing the race.
Yeah.
And Max Verstappen pulled aside lap 39. He was smelling something weird in his car. His car was apparently shitting itself. He was like, the car is shitting itself. And I smell something and I have to pull aside. And look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. So maintenance is clearly something that the drivers need to be thinking about. And I just think it's cool that he got a podium position by listening to his team and being
maintaining.
Maintain the car.
Yeah.
Like,
keep it going. Cool down.
Right.
That was really funny. I thought that moment, the smoke was pouring out of the engine. And did you see when he was calling people over, like, look, like, trying to find the fire?
Yeah.
Because they were like, no, it's in here.
Put the fire out right here.
Because they're just kind of like standing there.
An extinguisher.
He really wasn't happy about that, understandably. Following that, there was a moment of Stroll forcing Bottas off the track, which I found to be very annoying.
Right, and I don't understand why that wasn't
investigated. That was one thing. And then also that was Stroll weaving down the straight, which happened subsequently. Was that also not investigated?
He got a 5-second penalty.
Okay, one of the ones were... Okay, so it was the first one.
So, yeah, I was thinking maybe they just gave him that and were like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
He got enough penalties for the race.
But it was funny because I think the commentators were at first saying, oh, Bottas was asleep. They're like, he's sleeping at the wheel. He wasn't paying attention. And then, like, you saw the different angle. And it's like, oh, no, like, Lance completely forced him. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of how you say you hate Lance.
I do hate Lance. I feel like he is unnecessarily aggressive. Unnecessarily aggressive. And I think he gets away with a lot from the stewards. I was annoyed that Albon had to serve a 3-place grid penalty for this race because of what Lance Stroll did to him in the last race. I feel like that should be looked at. I don't know if the Strolls have an in with the FIA and just get treated better by them.
For those who don't know, Lance Stroll's dad is a big billionaire. Does he own Aston Martin or is just a big investor?
He owns the team.
Okay.
And before Aston Martin, the team was called
Force India.
After that, Racing Point. Racing Point were the ones who got in trouble for having a pink Mercedes.
Yeah.
And they paid a fine, but they kept driving with that car. And that is why I think that's another
sus.
That's just another supporting evidence.
Agreed.
To my theory that they, because they have a lot of money, get treated a little bit better by the FIA. I don't know.
Also, in response to Verstappen's, this happened as well, in response to Verstappen retiring the car, did you see that Perez was like, what's going on with Verstappen? And the race engineer was like, don't worry about it. Just pay no attention. I'm like, damn. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. In the front of the race, at this point, Leclerc is just clearing. Like, he's not really, he's just flying.
And that's how you clear a
And that's how you clear a bitch. And he was clearing these bitches. And he asked his race engineer, can we go for fastest lap? And the race engineer is like, negative. We're doing fine. He's like, it's fine. And Charles was like, okay. And he just really wasn't he's happy. Like, yeah.
All right.
He's like, okay.
But he had fastest lap at that point. I don't know if he knows that.
I don't know if he knew that. I think they told him that. It's like you already have fastest lap.
Yeah, but I guess he thought that other people were going to still
work
be able
up
to go
that.
For it.
Yeah.
Someone else, I think, grabbed fastest lap from him, and then I think he had a fastest lap at the end and still ended up getting that point.
He
I
did
don't
get
know.
The point, yeah.
But I guess the team was right. Ferrari has been on
Dude.
Their shiznit.
It's amazing.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
Everyone had clean pit stops this race, too. I don't think we saw any long pit stops.
No.
And we saw some really short ones, 2.4 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Was that from, who was that from? McLaren? I saw a really short
McLaren
one.
I believe so. All right. So do we want to just say the final,
yes,
the final standings of the race?
I'm so glad you said that because I don't have very many notes past this about the race.
Me neither.
Perfect.
So finally, Leclerc is in first, Perez in second, Russell in third, Hamilton in fourth, followed by Norris and Ricciardo, fifth and sixth, double points finish for their first time.
Amazing.
This season. Ocon, Bottas, Gasly in 10th place. Albon, so the last person to get a point this weekend, which is amazing because Albon started at the back of the grid.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they were expecting 19th and 20th for this race.
Yeah, and also he was on really old tires. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did a really unique strategy.
The strategy was different.
He pitted the last lap of the race.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes, yes,
crazy.
Yes.
And then followed by Zhou, Stroll, Schumacher, Magnussen. So the Haases had a really not great race after having really great races recently. I don't know what happened to them this weekend. And then Tsunoda, Latifi, Alonso, and 3 DNFs for Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel, and Sainz. So the constructors' standings are now Ferrari first, Mercedes second.
But for drivers, this is what I didn't realize. Charles Leclerc is 71 points. We know that. But George Russell is second.
Yeah.
Is that... for some reason, I don't know why that just never computed to me, but he has 37 points. Carlos is third with 33 points. Fourth is Sergio with 30 points. And then, damn, Max is sixth. Fifth is Lewis Hamilton at 28, and Max is sixth with 25.
Things are heating up. Things are heating up, but I cannot believe that this is only race three, and there's literally 20 races
to
go.
The season is so long, and this is also the longest season so far. Now that we have reviewed the race, the goings-on of the race, what surprised you?
What surprised me this weekend most was probably Alex Albon's race.
Okay.
I have never seen a Formula One, I don't think up until this point, a Formula One race that was just performed on one tire all the way to the last lap. And it's also, they're just ignoring Pirelli's recommendation because Pirelli just didn't recommend that. And I remember last season, tire punctures were a big thing. We haven't seen a tire puncture yet or just an out that has to do with a tire popping, has to do with just a tire completely. I know that Max complained of graining and they pitted a little bit early, but just last season, I feel like tire punctures came up more and ruined people's races randomly. And so it was interesting to see him go on one tire for just this entire Grand Prix. And surprising because he also got a point after literally not even qualifying and having to beg to even be in the race.
Beg? You think that's what he was doing in the steward's room?
Yeah.
I'm on my knees.
I was about to expose myself. It kind of reminds me of when I was younger, I was in part of this really Afrocentric organization. And at big events, we would have to ask the elders, like, to give us permission to speak.
Wow.
Yeah, before you spoke. It's just, like, a respect thing. They would obviously grant it to you, but it was just, like, at the start of an event or something, if you were going to go out, you would just, if you wanted to be extra respectful, you would say, like, elders, do I have permission to speak?
Wow.
And that's the vibe that the stewards give. Like, they're, like, I imagine them to be these, like, medieval characters in the back room. You've seen Dune?
Yes.
You know the woman who's wearing that beaded?
Yes.
Just, like, very... they're reverent. To me, these drivers are reverent to them. And like, oh, you have to speak to the stewards. Did you know
like
that?
This faceless entity that is.
Yeah. And the fact that Albon went to plead his case to the stewards is just whatever. But what were you surprised by?
You know what I was thinking? I was surprised a lot by the rules of the race, like changing. There were a lot of things. There used to be four DRS zones in this Melbourne track, and they reduced that to three
at the last minute.
At the last minute, they reduced that to three. I just feel like during the race, I was thinking a lot about what would have changed had, and some of the corners were also changed a little bit, like the shapes of the corners, and to make them, you know, better for overtaking or just safer. So I was just interested in how that shook out.
And you mentioned Max's new rule.
Yes, you know, this is my favorite thing. I kind of was laughing to myself because during the safety car restart, you have to, the new rule is that all of the cars have to be lined up.
Like single file.
Single file, exactly. And also the car behind cannot go past the rear wing of the car in front. And I just thought that was a really cool thing and amazing for Max, who just loves being pressed up against the, you know, the ass of the person in front of him. Sexy.
I like that this this season FIA stewards just seem more reactive
totally
to what people are saying and what drivers are probably saying. I really wish we could see driver briefings.
Me too. Oh. Me too.
But I just think that instead of waiting for people to complain about it, because all season long were the same complaints last year, the stewardship seems more modern.
And awake.
Modern, awake, cognizant, reactive.
Yep.
In a good way, obviously.
In a good way, because I think we're seeing the way that rule changes can affect how closely people are able to race with one another, how fair that is, all kinds of stuff.
Do you have a best radio message or best commentary?
Oh, I liked Charles Leclerc's, can I put in a fastest lap? And they're like, no. And he's like, well, okay. I thought that was just BDE. I'm like, okay, he's like, I'm doing so well. Let me put in this fastest lap.
Okay. okay.
Also, second for me, running up or honorable mention is Alonso being like, what's happening in the front of the grid or whatever in two cars ahead.
I had a commentary moment that I was just loving.
What was it?
It happened twice where the commentary people tried to go to Ted Kravitz, and they were like, Ted, Ted, to you, Ted, and Ted was like, I'm here, I'm like, Ted,
Ted's running to the mic,
are you like hungover today, Ted? Twice it happened. The first time, Ted was like, hello, yes, I'm here. He was like nervously reacting.
I'm both Ted, bro. I yeah. feel Ted.
Yeah. I could hear the panic in Ted's voice being like, yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Yes.
And they were pretty cheeky for being like, Ted.
Something as simple as that is so funny, and I can't say why. Also, super funny, Will Buxton called Sergio Perez the Mexican Minister of Defense. I just thought that was ridiculous.
That's not the first time I've heard that. Also, during this race, they were definitely, I don't know if it's just when Crofty and Rundle get together, because they're like the kings of commentary, but they really ascribe adverbs and adjectives to the spirits of the team. They're like, the silver arrows will be like puncturing the air to get, I'm like, guys, or they'll be like, poets. The Red Bulls are like, I don't know, getting irritated behind, like they actually get, yes, they're poets.
Yeah, very descriptive.
I didn't like this weekend that everyone was calling their car a woman. I don't know who started that on the paddock. I feel like it didn't happen much last season, and now everyone's like, oh yeah, she drives like a Hamilton was like, she drives like a Viper. And then after the race and the post-race interviews, they were like, how does she drive? I'm like, stop. The cars are not women.
It's reminding me of this Jack Harlow line from a song, which I'm hating that I'm referencing. But I think I say that to say I think a lot of men, like, there's something sexy about cars that men make femalize them, like become women.
Yeah, they're feline.
They're feline. It's very curvy, mm-hmm. Coke bottle shape.
The Ferrari is definitely a Coke bottle.
Oh, she's sexy.
Yeah. Mm. Who got Latifi'd this race?
Latifi'd. I feel like Lewis did.
Yeah. That's who I had down to.
Yeah.
He got Latifi'd pretty bad. Nothing, again, not related to Latifi. Just saying that something happened in the race that was outside of his control.
Yep.
Which was the safety
the
car.
The safety car.
Pit. My takeaway, I was watching Carlos come out of the race in third, and he literally only got to do less than 3 laps in the race. And I was just thinking, it's crazy. This is one of the only sports, I think, where you make one mistake and you're just out for the whole thing. This just, the sport is extremely punishing.
It is.
Like, I can't think of another sport where you literally can't continue playing it for your entire, I don't know, event. Because you made a mistake.
Sad. I was going to say that my takeaway is I'm thinking a lot about the second, the drivers who are like second on their teams. And I thought about this because when they were doing the post-race interviews, they talked to Christian Horner and they were like, you know, good result, right? Sergio Perez is like second. And he was like, yeah, you know, Max is retirement and all kinds of shit. And I was just like, to me, Sergio put in a good performance this race. He's somebody that I feel like never really gets his flowers. And I was just thinking about, I don't know. George Russell also is a second driver, like being in third. I'm just wondering how much the teams focus on these people who are not like the stars of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos is the second driver.
Horner, oh, interesting. You heard it here, folks. Maya thinks Carlos is a second driver.
He is, right? I don't want it to be, but that's the case. Between Charles and Carlos, do you have a preference?
In terms of personality?
No,
or
just
race?
In terms of, who you think is a stronger racer. Maybe it's from listening to Beyond the Grid, but I feel like actually Carlos is a really good technical driver, and I feel like he's a good problem solver within the car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Charles has that same problem solvingness. I feel like we've seen him be like, I'm stupid, you know, like that kind of vibe. But I think because he's been given such like this amazing engine, he's able to do good things with it.
I think it's hard because I came into the sport a big fan of Hamilton.
Yeah.
And so I just think the mentality of Hamilton, I'm going to copy and paste that into how I decide about other drivers too.
And who has that
Carlos to me has more of a Hamilton mentality.
Mm.
But then again, Charles, I think, drives more like Hamilton did at the start of his career. That's a hard one. I don't know.
I guess I
prefer Carlos. I like his personality more.
I like Carlos.
Leclerc doesn't have much of a personality.
I think they're both really cute.
They're obviously fine as hell.
Dude.
And Carlos also beat Leclerc last year. We discussed this
before
because of how reliable he is. This race obviously didn't prove that.
Yeah.
And Charles might be growing and not making the same mistakes that he was, because this season he has not, knock on wood, he has not just made a huge mistake and gone off, and he's finished every race, which says something, I think.
Yeah, I think it does. I was going to say, I feel like that's something a lot of commentators talk about. He hasn't set a foot in the wrong direction.
Mm-mm.
In the last few races. He's just, his reliability, I guess, has increased.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I was going to say about when you were talking about Horner and just his reaction to Perez doing better than Max and how depressed he was, he did not sound that excited
over
the radio when Perez
He's like, good job, Checker. Good result. All right. Yeah.
And he also said something this weekend that I thought was a bit of a provocative thing to say. Someone described Horner as one of the best provocateurs this sport has ever seen. And I love that because I think he believes that, you know, part of being a team principal and winning a championship is also how you communicate to fans and how you get your team, I don't know, just galvanize your team. So apparently in Red Bull, it's almost like Red Bull against the world. Like, he is a cult of personality.
Totally.
People are really proud to be members of the team and sort of believe in the fight that they're in. And anyways, he said something in the media. I read something that was just like, I would rather be repairing a fast car. This is in response to reliability issues. Okay. I would rather be repairing a fast car than trying to make a slow car go faster. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that says something about the position that they're in and the position that Mercedes is in this season.
He's subbing them.
He's literally subbing Mercedes. And I wonder if that's true. If I were a team principal, would I rather be in a position of fixing a fast car and trying to make it more reliable than making a slow car go faster?
I would say so. Yeah, I think like it plays into the nature of the sport already to like, because the sport is so much on built on like mechanics and engineering, I feel like they already have the tools and they're used to and practiced with fixing a car, like building the car up. So it feels like because it's in your wheelhouse, I would prefer to just do that to something that already goes fast than like trying to figure out how you can make a slow car go faster. It's interesting you say that because also, I don't know if you noticed, they talked about how Mercedes has these sensors on their car that slows the car down, but because they're doing so poorly, they need the sensors on even during the race. Usually these sensors are only on during free practice, but like, I'm just saying that's an example of, like, you lose something by having to, like, try and make this car go quicker. It's slower now. We're not slower. It's, like, heavier.
I'm not sold. I might want to make the slower car go faster.
That's interesting.
Because it seems like the Red Bull, if it was easy to fix, they would have figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, if it is a car that is sound and it just is a quick and easy fix to figure out how they can make it more reliable, it just seems like a volatile situation.
Yes.
I wouldn't want the mystery. And I think a slow car that's reliable and you're trying to make it go faster, but you know whatever upgrades you apply will always
do what they do.
Do what they're right. You can test it and you can be like, this is going to go faster. Let's do it. Let's move forward. With the Red Bull, I would be scared to make improvements or, you know, you're testing one thing and another thing to sort of figure it out. And I don't like that element of uncertainty in the car.
Yeah. And I also think the margin for error becomes that much smaller when you know your car is going fast. It's like, okay, I want to fix this problem, but maybe if I do this thing, it'll take a chunk out of the time. Like, I think the room for error is a lot smaller when you're doing it like that. I was going to say, I think the answer to the question has to do with how much control you can have over the process and end result. And I feel like you're right. And when you're trying to make a slow car go faster, you have a little bit more control over.
Control.
Yeah, you just have more control. And that is the name of the game, control.
Control. I cannot believe that Max has only finished one race.
Dude, it's too funny. Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's messy. One thing that I noticed was, I noted this earlier in the season, I feel like George is a lot more media trained than he was before. And I was just noting how he was talking to a lot of the interviewers where he was like, he's like, thank you to the guys back at the factory. We have to keep on fighting. Like he sounded to me so much like Lewis and how Lewis talks. I noted that.
I think him and Lewis are about to start having some big problems.
I don't know that they're that close. And I also get the sense, it's interesting, he's come onto a team that was doing so well and now the team is doing not so well. And I'm just curious to know how he personally feels about that.
George has his entire career ahead of him. And I think he knows that. And I think he's relaxed and he has nothing to lose. Being in such a poor position means that you can always blame the porpoising. You can always go back to, well, guys, it's just not the balance isn't feeling
good. The balance.
Whereas this might be Hamilton's last season. And I imagine that Hamilton always takes things more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that man is punching walls. Obviously,
he has
emotional ups and downs, and I think he's taking it much worse. And I think the last thing he needs is a younger driver who is doing things like getting lucky
the second driver
during race weekends and being like, he needs to speed up, he's going too slow.
I didn't think that George seemed that happy. Like,
With third.
Did you find that? I found that he seemed a little bit flat. But maybe that's
apparently
just
he got emotional.
He did? Okay, I didn't see that.
Apparently. But to me, George is a clone.
You're like, he's a robot.
I just don't even believe in his emotions because he's so awkward and
weird
to me.
Okay, I have to find the crying clip because I only saw him be kind of boring. And it's also something of note that Red Bull has been Red Bull has been struggling a lot more with reliability this season, and Mercedes hasn't. Like, mm-hmm. people were talking about how Mercedes has actually been putting in pretty consistently good performances for where they are on the grid for them.
It's annoying, and this is another callback to the way people treat reliability in this sport, as mm-hmm. if, oh, well, the car went out, so that's, you know, the driver really isn't to blame or the team isn't to blame. Reliability is such a huge part of it, and Mercedes is showing us that by sweeping up so many points in the beginning when they don't have a race-winning car.
Yeah.
Just by being there. Just yes. by being there when it counts.
And it shows in the driver's standings. Like, to me, the fact that George is second, it didn't compute because I'm like, oh, these other teams are winning. But it proves, like, George has been putting in these consistent performances to where they're able to collect points in a way that is mm-hmm. meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
There was an underwear... Wait, why are you laughing?
I did see that.
I just think the viewers need to hear this because it's so funny.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of race rules and regulations that people are talking about. You can't wear jewelry in the car. There's a certain kind of underwear that apparently you have to have underneath your suit.
Yeah.
And Gasly, they asked Gasly, I don't know, to comment on that. And he said, I won't comment on that. If they want to check my arse, feel free. I've got nothing to hide. My car. Everything. If that makes them happy, feel free. Is that true? Like, did he actually say that?
I don't know. Whatever journalist took that down is funny for that. Because it sounds like something that he meant to say off the record.
Okay. I think it's real because a lot of people are talking about this comment.
Speaking of, when Fernando Alonso crashed out in qualifying, he stood out of the car right in the camera and he bent down and you could see his ass, like a huge shot of his ass. It was kind of funny. It looked like an OnlyFans video. He like bent over in front of the camera and they cut very quickly because it was just like his big blue ass. Just a funny moment. Mary Kill, Toto Wolff.
Okay, so hard. Go ahead.
Carlos Sainz.
Okay.
And Lewis Hamilton.
Why did you pick the three of the hottest people related to the sport?
Because I feel like they'll be harder to decide what you want to do with them.
I know. Yeah. Okay. I asked knowing the answer. Okay. F. Mary Kill, Toto, Lewis, and Carlos Sainz. You're gonna hate me for this.
You're so dumb. If you do what you're about to do, you're about to do, you're so dumb because you're...
God. Kill Lewis. Is that what you thought I was going to do?
You don't have to do this. I might. Like, you knew what you wanted to do, so do it and be proud.
I'll stand by it. I'm marrying Toto. I'm stupping Carlos Sainz, and I'm killing Lewis Hamilton, which I know is crazy, but hear me out. Toto and I would make a beautiful marriage. I think we really would understand each other. Carlos, I think, is very sexy. And that's really that on that. And Lewis, like, for me, I don't want to marry Lewis. I don't. And I could have sex with Lewis, but it's like, maybe I would prefer to have sex with Carlos Sainz. Although it's hard. I mean, all of them could get it from me, for sure.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, go ahead. Because they've seen the evidence, but go ahead.
Yes. You're not going to have any fun with Toto Wolff. He already said that he has no work-life balance, and he's clearly, like, not easy to deal with in particular.
Pumpernickel.
And I think, if anything, you should F Lewis. If you don't want to marry Lewis, that's fine, because he also is a particular personality.
He's so particular.
I say you F Lewis. You marry Sainz, who you're going to laugh with and enjoy life with and have vacations in Mallorca.
Yeah.
Mallorca.
So sexy.
With, and I think Toto... It's like, when is it ever going to end with him?
I know.
I could see him not being a great partner.
Because he's so focused on work.
Yes. And I just think a marriage to him would be more difficult than a marriage to Carlos. Who would probably be a better parent, too.
I like Carlos, yeah. Okay, can I do one for you?
Yeah.
Okay. F. Mary Kill, Pierre, Charles, and Lando.
I don't know who to kill, Lando, Lando or Charles, because I'm annoyed by... I'm just as indifferent about both of them in terms of their personalities and sex appeal. To them, to me, they're just at the same level. Gasly stands out. I would kill Lando.
Yeah, I think you guys would not do well together at all. I have to be honest.
Too many.
That would be a mess.
For me, it's just triggering all of the side comments. It never stops. And I think he would be really annoying, and he doesn't mind being annoying. And I don't think he gets how annoying he can get. Like, I think telling him to stop and to shut up and I'm done with something or I'm irritated by something.
He would not know when to stop. It would just be like two vipers living together, just snapping consistently.
Yes. Yeah, and so who's left? Charles.
And Pierre.
And I guess I'm effing Charles so I can marry Pierre.
You don't think Charles, I'm surprised you don't find him as hot as I find him. You don't find him that hot? Charles?
I just don't think he has a personality. I would rather marry someone with a personality. So that's why I'm not going to marry Charles, who just, he's like bland.
He's like a prince to me. Like
yeah. And very much a prince in the traditional sense. Like he has been cultured in a way like a prince.
Yeah.
Pierre just strikes me as a regular person. He's just a regular person.
He's just a regular, he's like you and me.
Like that comment about his balls and his underwear, Charles would literally never make that comment. Okay, F, marry, kill. I don't know if you want to, I just want to do another round.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to think about mine differently. Go ahead.
F, marry, kill.
Yeah.
Gunther Steiner.
Okay.
Lance Stroll.
Okay.
Christian Horner.
Okay. Oh my God. These are the weird. Okay.
Steiner, Horner, Stroll.
Steiner, Horner, Stroll. Steiner, Horner, Stroll. It's like a vocal exercise. Steiner, Horner, Stroll. I might kill Lance. Lance gives me nothing, and I'd rather be or have sex with somebody who gives me a little something. Lance gives me nothing. And I'm sorry. I know. Go ahead. I know. I know what that leaves me with is the problem. I'm actually really struggling with this. Can I go back and change my answer?
You can. You can.
Let's talk it out. Okay, so
this F, marry, kill was specifically designed to trip people up.
It was specifically designed to get into the crevices of the mind and unleash
F, marry, kill. Yeah.
Unleash your wildest desires and thoughts.
It's really a logic game.
Yeah, it is. And there's always a right answer. I feel like Gunther, maybe I would marry Gunther. I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous, but he's funny sometimes. I think he would be driven to make the marriage work. It's similar to a Haas situation. Like he won't let it get that bad. I think he'd put in the work to fix it. It might explode on the track, and then
the thought of you and Gunther Steiner trying to solve your marital issues is so funny to me. So funny to me. And you know what? You probably won't end up with someone like Gunther Steiner, Maya. And I actually think you should.
You want me to marry Gunther?
No, I'm just saying a personality like it.
Like what? Irreverent and strange?
No, like very silly. Doesn't seem... Not that he doesn't take things seriously, but even when he's having his most serious moment, it seems like a joke.
Yes.
I just think that would be a positive thing for you. I imagine that Gunther is... even in his worst arguments, he could still laugh. He can laugh.
Like, that's a good quality.
At himself, probably, as he's yelling. Or, like...
So I'm marrying Gunther, and we're going to work it out. And then I'm going to kill Lance, and then I'll just... Smash Horner. I think he might be into... Anyway, let me not get into what I think his lover style is, his lovemaking style. But, who do you think is the best lovemaker of the three that you just gave me?
Gunther?
Yeah.
Lance Stroll or Horner?
I'm saying Gunther.
I've never slept with anyone like that. And I don't know, I've never met, I can't even make the mental leap.
Okay, let's round it out.
Another great race of episode of Wheel to Wheel. Please subscribe,
share,
follow
about
us
it.
On TikTok at
DM what is, me.
What is our TikTok?
At Wheel to Wheel Pod.
Oh, someone just commented on our video.
Really?
I don't know. Just help us, bro.
Help us? Please. It'd be great if you could help. Comment, subscribe, like, share.
And leave a review. That's really helpful.
Totally.
No one ever does that, except we do have a really glowing review. We should maybe leave some for ourselves, I guess.